Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
2014, a failed stand-up comic entered a contest called The Hunt for the Host. He did not win. Later, he was joined by an underperforming Oregon State fullback with a community college degree. These men, neither having earned the position and possessing no real skills, continue on as radio personalities. If you have nothing better to do on a Saturday morning, and if you can find them, maybe you can hear The Sinner and the Saint. Starring Luke Anderson.
We got a lot of gentlemen's clubs. Oh. You know you like those. Oh, hey, everybody.
Mickey Mouse, yeah.
It is now. Devolved into that.
And Will Darkens.
Ear or eye? Where do you want it?
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah. All right, that's the sound of the kitty cats, so it means it's hour two of The Sinner and the Saint right here on 1080 The Fan. Luke Anderson is out camping for the 100th time, I think in the last week. So joining me is a longtime fan alum, Preston Highfield.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you.
Where's he camping?
I think in Eastern Washington, where they haven't like actually discovered land yet. Yeah.
He's trying to be a founding father out there.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Well, Mayor Clark County. What else do you expect?
That sounds like Luke. Tulane, folks, they're up 17-0 on Navy. And Hugh Freeze and Liberty. They're up 17-3 on Western Kentucky.
Hey, good job, Hugh Freeze, you scumbag.
Way to use the Ole Miss credit card to buy something.
If you missed hour one of The Sinner and the Saint, you can go to radio.com or 1080thefan.com for the Les Schwab Tires podcast. Hour two will be up there as well once it's over. I will get to the poll question here coming up in the next segment. Again, keep those answers coming in for which NFL QB prospect did you believe was going to be a bust? And in fact, you were very right about him being a bust. We're already getting a lot of Joey Harrington and Marcus Mariota on the text line. But I also do want to visit.
That hurts.
Yeah, it does hurt, but it's kind of true.
It is.
I want to revisit this because we were talking about that 11-year-old who brought the Hooters mask to his class in the last segment. And you and I kind of stumbled on this whole thing of, and if you're a native here of Portland, you know what Jiggles was off I-5 in Tualatin.
Yep, that's my hometown, baby.
And
Jiggles exit.
Jiggles was that strip club right off of the Tualatin exit that every, 15-year-old drove by. Once you got your learner's permit, you were like, one day I'll go there. And I went to Jiggles twice in my lifetime before it shut down rightfully. And Jiggles to me proved the absolute universal fact that strip clubs by major highways are never good.
That's a great take.
Like, I've never heard of anybody saying like, oh, dude, we went to this strip club and we did it up. Me and the boys, oh, they had bottle service. It was awesome. You should have seen it. It was right off I-5.
It's right off the Salem exit. If you're getting bottle service at a strip club like Jiggles,
what kind of bottle service?
Life is a series of choices, and that's not a great one.
The closest I
ever got to Jiggles was going to that Wendy's right next to it. Never did make it out to good old Jiggles, but
was it you and your 14-year-old friends, and you were like, my God, wouldn't it be amazing if we got in there,
guys? One time when we turned 18. All after tennis practice, you want to go there?
Yeah. Let's do it. My mom gave me $10 for allowance.
So
I'll turn it into ones.
I mean, what was it like in there? Was it kind of depressing? I imagine.
Yeah, it was a strip club, so right. It was depressing. Mm. It was also a strip club.
That's well done.
Right off of I-5, so it was, in fact, depressing. Actually, the first time that I went there, I got a lap dance, and I immediately found out that lap dances make me incredibly uncomfortable.
Mm.
Like, really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It's a thing where, like, you have to keep your hands behind your back, and, like, the young woman that was performing the dance, like, didn't say anything to me the whole time, and I didn't know if I was supposed to make conversation. So we were both just, like, dead quiet the entire time.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I was like, I'm never going to get a lap dance again. This is the weirdest thing I've ever
done. You're like, hi, I'm Will. I go to Lake Oswego. 3.4 GPA, starting fullback.
What do you got going on this weekend?
You know, you got soccer practice or something this weekend? Oh, that is brutal.
The other one on the way to Corvallis is Stars.
Stars. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, Stars is the one that it's a strip club, but like they also double as a fine steakhouse. Fine, however you want to define that.
Right.
Yeah, but I never went to Stars, but I just kind of assumed that Stars off the highway probably wasn't the high quality strip club that you would want. Though I will tell you that I went to a strip club when I went to the Sun Bowl in El Paso, Texas.
Oh.
When we played Pitt and dominated them 3-0.
That's awesome.
And
oh God, that was an epic Sun Bowl. I remember that.
It was an epic Sun Bowl. They had Shady McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
that was like the most Sun Bowl of all time.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Just a 3-0 barn burner.
Well, the Sun Bowl
in El Paso.
The Sun Bowl is in a group with like the Outback Bowl.
Right.
And what are some other good ones? You know, bowl games where it's like they try to make you think it's important, but like nobody cares.
It's not really that. The Holiday Bowl is kind of that.
The Holiday Bowl, yeah, that's one.
Yeah, dude, there was another great Sun Bowl. When USC all fought each other in that locker room, when Barkley gave up on the season but traveled with the team and they all threw punches in the locker room.
Yeah.
That was a good Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
Oregon beat South Florida in a Sun Bowl really bad one year. Jonathan Stewart had a good game.
Yeah, wasn't that the one Masoli, right?
I think it was like Roper or something.
And that was that off year that Southern Florida was like really good, the Bulls.
They were pretty good, yeah. Yeah. They were like a top 25-ish team. That was I want to say that was 07 because it looked like a great year, and then Dennis Dixon blew out his knee, and then it turned into Oregon State won the Civil War and Oregon went to the Sun Bowl. But then Jay Stu just went crazy in that game.
Yeah, that was also the year we went to, I was on that team.
Yeah.
And we went to the Emerald Nuts Bowl. And you wouldn't imagine what we got as a bowl gift.
Peanuts?
It was peanuts.
Mixed nuts?
And I'm not even kidding you. It really was Emerald Peanuts.
Was like, the peanut man there?
Like, that's all they had.
They didn't even throw you, you know, cashews or something a little classier.
No, dude. It was like a large amount of Emerald Peanuts. It wasn't even like...
So that was your swag bag, literally peanuts.
And it wasn't even a swag bag. So check this out. This is probably one of the weirder experiences I had going to bowl games. Because bowl games in themselves, if you just look at them objectively, are really weird. You're taking a bunch of 18 to 21-year-olds and then like just showering them with gifts before they go play a football game.
Right.
It's weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, in bowl games, and this probably happened right around when we started, they quit doing the swag bag. And they started doing this thing where you would go into a room in the hotel that you were staying at, and you would get a certain amount of points, and that you'd get to pick from all the stuff that was there, right? For the Emerald Nuts Bowl, you went into the room, and you got a certain amount of points.
And Mr. Peanut was there with a handgun. Just put the nuts in the bag. Can you imagine?
You go into the room, and it was different flavors of peanuts you got to choose from. Dude, that was what you got to pick. Not like, hey, Xbox, PlayStation. No, it was Cajun or spicy. It was literally picking nut flavors, and you got points for what kind of nuts you picked.
My gosh.
And there were dudes on other teams, because you knew other guys that like went and played at other universities,
mm-hmm.
that like you would talk to them over the holidays and you'd be like, oh yeah, how was the, you know, how was the Sun Bowl? How was the Holiday Bowl? How was the whatever bowl?
I got an Xbox and an iPod.
Yeah, how was the Alamo Bowl? Yeah, and it was like, well, what happened with you? It's like, well, I got nuts. And dude, I relied on those to like re-gift to people in my family.
Right.
Like I went home empty-handed that year because all I had was nuts.
So you literally just put nuts in a bag and that was your swag bag.
No, it was, I wish it was Costco style where you could just shovel nuts into a bag. That would be fine.
Yeah.
No, dude, pre-COVID. It was individually packaged emerald nuts just sitting on a table. It was an incredible spread. I mean, I'm not gonna say that.
But
they
didn't even kick you like a $15 iTunes gift card or anything that.
No.
Just a straight up.
There
bag
might have
of
been
nuts.
An emerald nuts gift card that I missed.
By the way, I just looked that up. Looks like you guys beat Maryland 21-14.
We did, and we played in on the San Francisco Giants field, AT&T, before it got renovated. It was probably the worst field I've ever played out in my life.
Man, that was like Cal's home field for 2 years when they were getting their new stadium. That was brutal.
Dude, and I had to play at PG Park back when
it
was
PGE. Oh, in high school?
Yeah, in high school. Yeah. Dude, that if you were a high school football player in Oregon during a time where you played playoff games at PG&E or you went to Central Catholic, you understand how awful that field
the
was.
The turf just wasn't it.
Oh, dude.
Because it was turf, right? It was, I mean, barely.
It was AstroTurf.
Yeah, it was like AstroTurf.
It wasn't
turf
that we know now. It was like straight up carpet.
You couldn't like sink your cleats into it. Yeah.
No, you had to get specialty shoes because your cleats would actually get stuck in there and you'd turn your ankle.
Yeah.
Like you had to get these rompus shoes to put on.
Wow.
I felt like a third grader playing football. I'm an 18-year-old kind of man.
Wow. By the way, Sean McDonough, you know you were talking about him earlier?
Yeah.
He was on the call of that Emerald Nut Sun Bowl. He probably got some free nuts.
Oh, for real, though?
Yeah. That was an ESPN game. Sean McDonough and Chris Spielman.
I did meet Reese Davis when I went to the... Which one was that? That was the Vegas Bowl.
Okay.
When we played in the Vegas Bowl against BYU, I met Reese Davis on the field.
Usually the play-by-play guys do some kind of like a luncheon speaking engagement or something. Oh, you met him on the field.
Yeah, he just came by to say what's up. Mm. And he was like the nicest person ever.
Mm.
He was totally cool. And I told him that I hope that you host College Game Day at one point.
Oh, nice.
And he did.
There you go. No, I love Reese. Reese is, he's awesome. World-class knowledge. Good old Sean Canfield and Lyle Moivau kind of split reps that game, it looked like. Huh.
Sean was throwing on like a seaweed wrap elbow.
Oh, yeah, he's banged up.
I'm sorry, shoulder, dude. He couldn't even throw a pass like 10 yards.
Yeah,
it was pathetic.
Yikes!
That's a whole other conversation. But we have to get to our poll question next because we've been teasing this too much. Again, the question: which NFL QB prospect were you totally right was going to be a bust? You predicted it, and it happened. More Sinner and Saint coming up. 503-250-1080 is the fan text line. Somebody throwing in Johnny Football as their pick for a NFL QB prospect. They were super right was going to be a bust. And again, these players need to be considered, at least for a certain time, to be successful. Like, there had to be a lot of buzz behind them. You can't give me, like somebody on the text line said Matt Moore. I was like, I don't think there was a lot of buzz around Matt Moore.
No. I don't even think most people knew who Matt Moore was outside of the Pac-12.
Right, because he came from, what, Cal or somewhere? He transferred.
Oh, he did? He transferred to OSU?
Yeah, he transferred to OSU. I forget. It was either Cal or UCLA. I think it was UCLA, because my brother actually played with Matt Moore for a year.
Nice. And he was a really good college quarterback. I'm not saying he wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I guess Manziel's a pretty good one. I mean, he actually did have a lot of hype. I mean, no one said, or few people said, oh, he's going to be a 10-year starter and a Pro Bowler. But, I mean, he did obviously have a ton of hype.
Well, he was the Heisman winner. And that was actually going to be my pick. Like, I have two. The first one is Johnny Manziel. Mm. That, for me, Johnny Manziel, I was just kind of like, dude is going to flame out really quick. The second one for me, and this kind of straddles the line because I know people will kind of get mad at me for it, Jared Goff.
Huh.
And Jared Goff was drafted really high. And I know
number one.
Yeah. And I know it was a drought quarterback market that year, but dude, right when I watched him playing at Cal, I was like, no, this guy sucks. Like, he's not great. He has huge numbers because I think he throws it 40 times a game.
Yeah. They had that like air raid offense going with Sonny Dykes. So his name's Sonny Dykes, I think. Yeah, their coach. came over from Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
And he's at SMU now, I believe.
Sonny Dykes at SMU.
Yeah. Uh-huh. SMU should be a really good program. I mean, they're in Dallas and they're in the American Conference. It's like a really good group of five conference.
They got the death sentence.
I know, but still, dude, those 18-year-olds don't know that. The kids you're recruiting don't know that.
Well, I think it's more of the whole funding thing.
Mm.
It set off a chain reaction.
Boosters. Because there's a lot of money at that school, but I guess maybe the boosters. Yeah, maybe not. Mine was Christian Ponder.
Christian Ponder is an interesting pick. Now, you teased in the beginning of the show a very funny draft profile of Christian Ponder. And I also just think it's funny that Christian Ponder even had a draft profile. So go ahead and read what you got.
Okay, so we got Walter Football breaking down Christian Ponder. I found the ESPN one, but you needed to be an insider.
Not an insider. Super, super big time access to get Christian Ponder
draft profile. Sir, we're going to need $4.99 for that. Christian Ponder, 2011 draft scouting report. Strengths. Short to intermediate accuracy.
Right.
Good mechanics and footwork.
Uh-huh.
Mobile with scrambling ability. I don't know about that. Experience under center in a pro-style offense. 3-year starter. This one's great. Very intelligent, parentheses, completed MBA program.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was working real hard at that at Florida State.
I do love that, too. The whole correspondence of, like, kids that are smart in college.
Yeah.
And, like, they should be really good at football.
Oh, yeah.
Because that always works out.
And then, finally, high character leader. Because he was a team captain. It says dash team captain. Weaknesses, arm strength, limited to West Coast offense. Forces throws that NFL players will intercept, questionable decision-making, and injury history. Anyways,
so basically, he sucks.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, exactly. You're like, what? Where are the good things? He's just like a typical pro-style QB, you know, 6'4", 220, played in a pro-style offense that has a decent arm that played for a good program, and people are automatically like, oh, he played for a while in a good program.
Should be good.
I looked him up, how successful they were when he was at Florida State. His best season, they went 10-4. It was Jimbo Fisher's first year, actually.
And there
it
you
was
go, Jimbo.
It was his senior year. EJ Manuel was on the roster. They actually they beat South Carolina in the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Which lost
to Oklahoma in a non-con. But I don't know. I mean, listen, the guy's married to Sam Ponder. He made $13 million in his career, according to Spotrac.
Yeah, he's living the good life.
And he got an MBA out of it. I mean, things could definitely be worse. But when he was drafted in the first round, I was like, what are we seeing here?
Many other selections on the text line echo the pick of Vince Young and Matt Leinart. I've been getting a lot of those on the text line. Matt Leinart is definitely a good one if you were keen on that. I didn't think Matt Leinart would be a bust, though I was incredibly young and naive. I totally thought Matt Leinart was going to be really good because it was such the perfect timing for him, and it was the good situation where he was going to the Cardinals where he could sit for a little while, and he had really good receivers to throw to.
Yeah. No, dude, I loved Matt Leinart.
And I'm also getting a lot of Sam Bradford, which Sam Bradford's a good pick just because of the fact that you know, everybody assumed just because he won the Heisman and he was really accurate that, like, oh, this will transfer. And then he did win Rookie of the Year, but Sam Bradford became an incredible disappointment. So good on you, listeners, if you called Sam Bradford would suck.
That's like Vince Young was a Pro Bowler his first year, or borderline.
Yeah. He got into the playoffs.
Right. Dude, it's tough when you get drafted by those terrible franchises. I mean, not to make excuses for my guys, Harrington and Mariota, who I admit were you could call busts. But
yeah,
dude, the Titans
busts.
Were so bad when Mariota went there, and like two or three seasons later, he won him a playoff game. I mean, it wasn't like a complete tragic disappointment. Now, did they need to get rid of him at the end? Yes. And they got better when they got rid of him.
And that should just indicate to you that he was a bust.
No, he was. Yeah. But like, dude, remember when Harrington went to the Lions? Like, dude, the Lions were the Browns of that time.
I give Joey a little more leeway in that sense because he really kept like falling ass backwards into bad situations.
The Dolphins and the Lions.
Yeah. He went to the Lions when they were awful and making bad decisions. And then he got traded to the friggin' Dolphins, and then Dante Culpepper got hurt. He had to have Nick Saban be his NFL coach, which is awful. And then he went to the friggin' Falcons, where like he was supposed to sit again behind Michael Vick. And then Michael Vick went to prison, and it was like, all right, you're up.
Wait, so back, you think Goff is a bust? Is that your take?
Oh yeah, Goff's a complete bust. I mean, even though he went
to the Super Bowl,
I understand that, but like because of the fact Goff had to get earpieced by Sean McVay, and we found out what happened when like he was not getting so much earpieced, it made sense that like Goff is really not as great as people brought him up to be, and he's so, definitely like, not as good as what the money he's getting paid.
What if they win like 10 games this year? Is he still a bust?
That's a tough one. I think busts are kind of one of those subjective things where like you know it or you don't. Like everybody can agree Ryan Leaf's a bust. But then you get into situations where it's like
Brady Leaf.
Brady Leaf.
Former Duck Brady Leaf.
Was Brady Leaf a bust?
Next on Sinner and Saint.
but then you get into other kind of difficult situations calling people busts. I think a difficult one right now is Baker Mayfield. Because
that's a hot topic. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very up and down. He had that very good rookie season, and it honestly was good. I mean, he almost got into the playoffs, and then he had a really huge sophomore slump. And now you have this sample size of two games where it's like, hey, he looks pretty good. Yeah. And so the jury's kind of still out on him, but like it's either you know it or you don't. There's no formula to it.
Right. No, I think, you know, talk shows get a lot of miles out of Baker. I mean, Baker's like, if I could pick one quarterback to say, is he about to bust in the NFL? It's Baker.
Yeah.
Like they lost to the Ravens 38-6 to start the season.
Ravens are good though.
Yes, the Ravens are good. And yes, they bounced back on national TV against the Bengals, and Baker did play pretty well. But if he doesn't look like pretty dang good this year, as in like, can you kind of carry a franchise to an extra couple wins a year? I'm ready to call him a bust.
Somebody else pointing out Josh Rosen, and good on them, because I thought Josh Rosen would actually be good.
I loved Josh Rosen at UCLA.
Yeah, I thought he would be really good. I thought
they were
also
terrible before him and terrible after him. He carried him to like 10 wins a year.
Yeah, I kind of thought Josh Rosen would be good just because I thought it was kind of like he was in a bad situation. He was incredibly talented, but he had to have Jim Mora coaching him, which sucks. And so I thought that maybe, you know, if he got there, things would turn out okay. Josh Rosen is most definitely a bust now.
I got suckered into Josh Rosen when I read some Sports Illustrated piece when the writer went into his house on campus at UCLA, and it was like a frat house.
Oh, the hot tub.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, well, I think that was the dorm, maybe. But but he was like, Josh Rosen's house has a beer pong table in the living room and blah, 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 which, you know, that's not a great sign for a franchise quarterback. But at the time, I was like,
that's awesome.
Well, kind of that, but more so like this guy doesn't, you know, this guy breaks the mold. Like he's a pro style QB. He's very smart. Like you read these things. Oh, his dad's a surgeon and his mom's a lawyer.
And he loves smoking weed.
And Josh, well, he just taps kegs and throws footballs. he seemed rebellious. And while that's definitely not a trait you want in a franchise quarterback, I kind of like that. Like I do tend to gravitate towards athletes who the public hates for whatever reason. Like I'm a big LeBron guy. I don't know. That's kind of where I was at with Josh. To be fair, he's gotten completely screwed as far as like his NFL situations.
Yeah.
But by this point, he probably should have earned a couple opportunities to start and play well.
Coming up next, let's review over some Week 2 football predictions. And then as well, I want to play some strange Jim Irsay audio I stumbled upon this past week. And I just want to get your opinion on it. But first, keep those coming. NFL quarterback prospect busts that you totally knew were going to be busts at the time. Good picks in there. Teddy Bridgewater, which I don't know if you can quite call him a bust just yet.
Teddy Two Gloves?
Yeah.
No, I think you got time. And I'm still not calling Goff a bust. I'm pushing back on that.
I was scrolling the interwebs recently as in this week, and I stumbled upon a tweet by one Jim Irsay. Now, if you're not familiar with Jim Irsay, He owns the Indianapolis Colts. And he is kind of weird in that he has this penchant for getting pulled over with a bunch of pills and booze in the back of his car and tweeting out pictures of naked women. Hmm. Like, that's just his thing. I don't know why. But he put out this video, and I'll just set up this audio I'm going to play for you. It's Jim Irsay sitting behind a bench press with what looks to be about 320 pounds, and he is the spotter. There's nobody about to bench it, and this is what he says.
To be there in mind, spirit, and body, and to fire up and to know it's a long season, to know that this game, and only this game, against a great team, against the Vikings, which is always a tough fight, we will be there, and we need you there, loud and proud, believing we will come out victorious. So let's keep fighting and make this season great. God bless. Take care of loved ones through these times. But we will be stronger through these times, and we will be better after Sunday. So thank you.
God, what? Who was he talking to? Just like
the camera.
The camera.
There was no one there except for Irsay as the spotter on like a 300-plus bench, and he doesn't lift the weights. He's just sitting there. He's got a weight belt on.
He's old too, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, 60, he looks 61.
Like, he looks like the strength and conditioning coach, not the
he
owner.
He sounded like a strength and conditioning coach.
Yes.
He sounded like he just like shot some steroids into himself, injected himself with steroids via a needle.
Like, because of the fact he's a billionaire, he was like, you know what? I'm bored. I'm going to take roids.
You know what? Let's just see what these roids are all about.
That's what I would imagine a billionaire would do at a certain point. Like, there's only so much you can buy and so much you can influence that at a certain point you just look inward and you're like, you know what? I'm going to do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Let's do this. I'm roiding it up.
Let me just hire a trainer and shoot some roids into my... Anyways, that's interesting. I didn't know a ton about Jim Irsay.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, he got pulled over, and he had, like, these bags.
No,
like,
I mean, I heard that story.
Yeah, it wasn't prescription bottles. It was literally just, like, random pills just stuffed into a bag and a bunch of, like, loose liquor.
Loose liquor?
Like, just, not sealed?
Just in a plastic bag so he can smuggle it into places.
Smuggle it into prison. He's got prison wine.
Yeah. Just his back pockets, just a plastic bag of just cheap dark liquor.
It's like a camel sack, those backpacks.
Yeah.
Except it's just all brown in there.
Hey, that's just another day in the SEC, baby. Looks like he went to SMU. Could maybe donate some of that $3 billion net worth that way.
Yeah, Jim Irsay is just one of those NFL owners that I felt like he got bored a really long time ago and just decided he's going to do whatever he wants and he doesn't care.
You know, what's up with the Colts? They're Philip Rivers. I don't know what that, I don't really know what the identity of that franchise is right now.
Colts?
Mean? Yeah.
They suck. And they're irrelevant.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
And they got Philip Rivers, which is stupid.
A second ago where they had Luck and everyone was calling Luck the next Elway. Dude, Philip Rivers, I respect for the longevity, but he might be the most overrated football player of my lifetime. That guy has all stats, no accomplishments.
Lifetime, huh?
That's where I'm at on Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I would be.
And it's nothing personal to the guy. Seems like a good dude. Everyone in San Diego loves him. I saw a poll the other day on Twitter that was like, Chargers fans, would you rather go 10-6 or have Philip Rivers win a Super Bowl with the Colts? And like 92% was like, Philip Rivers win a Super Bowl.
Eli Manning is also in that train for me. Most overrated NFL players in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, he won two Super Bowls. Didn't accidentally happen.
I know, but it's like Joe Flacco won one. So
Joe Flacco is in that convo too. You're right, Joe Flacco. Jim Irsay, ladies and gentlemen. So is he trying to like get fans to go out to local bars and cheer? I mean, it was like a rallying cry for fans.
Yeah, that's it. It was just him getting on there and Somebody on the text line, 503-250-1080, saying that the Adderall must have kicked in, which I'm guessing Adderall for him is the adverse effect where it's actually just speed. Because, you know, Adderall is supposed to calm people down who are wired hyper. I think Jim found that he is the reverse of that, which was probably a pleasant surprise to him. He was like, oh, good, Adderall does this.
You know, to be a billionaire, you got to be pretty different. Like, look at Cuban.
Yeah.
You know.
Or Bezos.
Bezos. I mean, you know, even Paul Allen was, you know, RIP, a little different.
There's two types of billionaires. There's ones that keep building empires, and there's ones that got bored like 5 years ago and are now just like, okay, this is stupid. I just want to do whatever I want now. That's Jim Irsay.
Steve Ballmer. If I was if I was a billionaire, I'd just buy an NBA team and sit courtside and go crazy. That's exactly what I would do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'd go crazy, but you know what I mean? I'd sit courtside and that'd be awesome.
I'd probably buy a team that's like really like a weird pit. Like I'd buy the Orlando Magic and I would just kind of do whatever I wanted. Like I wouldn't want to get a high profile team because then I'd be on TV and my hijinks would be out there.
Right.
I'd want to like get a team that like nobody's watching and then just do whatever the hell I want. Like the Memphis Grizzlies, like buy the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Cause nobody goes to those games anyway.
But then you have to live in Memphis.
Well, I'm a billionaire. I'll go live somewhere else.
Yeah, and I'll get don't the you nicest, want to go to the games?
Well, I'll get the nicest place in Memphis, and I'll just like stay there for like 2 weeks at a time when they're having home game stretches and just go do ridiculous things on the court.
God, see, I'd want to buy some team in Southern California. Lakers and Clippers are probably a little spendy, but if I had that kind of dough, that's what I'd do. I don't know about Memphis. That's kind of a tough market.
All right, coming up next, we're going to do what to watch. Preston, this is a segment where we say what we're going to watch for the weekend in sports and then also what we're watching right now on streaming platforms or TV.
Do we give our NFL picks or are we just...
No, we don't pick here.
Okay. That's too sport nerdy.
Well,
that's too nerdy.
I guess what I'm saying is that like I don't think anybody is like listening to us to before they like put money down on games. Hmm. And if they do, why?
Well, you know, I mean, we know what we're talking about back
here. Yeah, that's right. All right, wrapping it up here on The Sinner and the Saint, 1080 The Fan.
Which is the most exciting matchup in the field of competition? Which game will leave you kicking yourself if you miss it? Which channel should you switch to when the sporting day is gone? Welcome to America's most exciting sports talk radio show segment. It's time for What to Watch. Presented by Encore Audio Video. Now hear this. Whether you're looking for a new TV or a custom home theater, start at Encore's showroom at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. Now our expert panel, avid television viewer Will Darkins, and increasingly out-of-touch father of twin girls, Luke Anderson, are here to tell you what to watch. Literally, it's What to Watch on The Sinner and the Saint. On 1080 The Fan.
All right, before we get into what to watch, Preston did point my attention to something I saw this morning that just made me laugh and smile. that Bronny, LeBron James' younger son, who was named after him in a very cartoonish way, accidentally posted to his Instagram story him just blowing trees hard on a blunt.
He was ripping a blunt. And I think he's 16.
Yeah, somewhere around there. He's so, like 15, 16.
There's something illegal there to a degree.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's more so that it's just funny because it's Bronny.
It's Bronny.
That's why it's funny. Everyone's like, oh, LeBron James, bad parent. Oh, this, oh, that. Like, whenever LeBron, or whenever Bronny, because he goes on, like, those IG lives with people and plays video games, like, folks love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
So they love this content, too.
Well, and not only that, the whole thing with Bronny is that I have this really kind of weird thing where I like when celebrities' kids act out, because to me, it's like, oh, I guess you can't have it all then.
Yeah.
It's like if LeBron James was also a perfect parent, that would kind of like ruin me a little.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, he's everything.
Right.
Like that's the one thing I feel like I could have over LeBron James where I'm like, yeah, I'm a good dad. You're not.
I just want to see like LeBron's reaction. Like does LeBron tweet about it? Does
probably he pissed.
I mean, I'm sure he is, but does he like, you know, Does some Big J in that Orlando media scrum ask him about it? So LeBron, did you see Bronny blowing tree on his IG live?
Balls on that reporter, by
yeah,
the way.
Dude.
Yeah.
If somebody does that,
that'd
be an award-winning question. Schwartz would do it.
Yeah.
That animal hates LeBron. That guy would do it.
What I will say, though, is I think the impact of that would be a little bit less because they are in the bubble, so they're not, like, there.
Yeah.
If you had the balls to ask him in a press pool and you're, like, there,
yeah,
then kudos to you, sir.
Right.
I don't have those balls.
Right. God, I love it when people do, though.
Yeah. It's great. All right. What to watch, Preston? What are you watching for in this week three of the NFL season coming up here this Sunday? Any storyline team in particular?
I mean, it's got to be Giants-Bears. I just, those two sensational franchises. No, I mean, I actually do like Daniel Jones.
Don't get into that.
No, I do. Sunday Night Football is going to be awesome. You know, Pats at Seattle. Obviously, it'd be way better if there were fans there, but you know those 12s are going to pump in that fake crowd noise anyway. You know, we got the GOAT Al Michaels on the call, obviously.
You just kind of hope that a bunch of Eastern Washingtonians just, like, flood the gates and go in anyway.
Just charge on in.
Yeah, just screw you.
I'm pumped for that. I didn't watch any of the Pats Dolphins game last week. I mean, I saw that Cam had a rushing touchdown or two and they won 21-11, but what does that mean? The Dolphins are terrible. Fitzpatrick threw three picks in that game. I'm pumped to see Cam in prime time on the Pats, man.
I am also pumped for that. I'm also pumped to see Russell Wilson continue what will be the lamest MVP award awarded in quite some time.
Yeah.
I think whoever wins the NFL MVP award this year, it's just going to be like Giannis winning this year. It's just going to be conciliatory. Yeah. Like, just give it to him.
Did you see the way Adam Silver handed out the trophy too?
No.
It was like a Zoom call. Giannis was in Athens, Greece. You could like barely see him. And then it was Adam Silver in his home office and he was like, I'm pleased to announce the MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it was just like him in his home office. Pretty anticlimactic.
I was kind of hoping that he'd do that thing where, like, he has the trophy, and then he, like, puts it off screen right so you don't see it, and then Giannis in Greece, like, syncs it up and then takes it from
He was like, I'm going to send this to you in Athens now, okay? But he was, like, joking, but Giannis didn't really get it. He was like, no, I'll go pick it up in America. Like, Giannis didn't really get the joke. Yeah, it was good. Good times in 2020 on these Zoom calls.
What are you watching right now on streams or network TV?
Oh,
are you just so dialed in on sports?
I love Succession.
I want to watch Succession.
Succession's amazing. I'd say Succession's my main show. Have you seen Billions?
I haven't seen Billions.
That's five seasons. So I've watched all five seasons of Billions and all two seasons of Succession. They're both amazing. Paul Giamatti in Billions is unbelievable.
I successfully got rid of my Facebook account because I watched a Netflix documentary last night called something like the Social
Dilemma.
Dilemma.
Gosh, I was gonna watch that, but I didn't.
It'll make you get off of social media.
Really?
Like altogether.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the trailers and everything.
Yeah.
It's spooky.
It's super spooky, yeah. And it also like it totally explains the fact. Or it explains for some people why you get online and just rage tweet.
Yeah.
Like it totally for me, because I'll go on these little things where I'll just basically rage tweet at people or on a certain subject. And I'll just do like 10 tweets in a row where I'm just talking stuff.
Just get it out. Sometimes I'll do I'll type up the tweet and then delete it. And it makes me feel a little better.
So it's your version of writing an angry letter to a family member and not sending it.
And then not exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the modern version of that.
All right. Preston, thank you for coming in, dude.
Dude, I was so happy to be here. We'll do it anytime.
No,
thank you,
it.
Folks. I appreciate it. Would love to get some hot tennis talk in at some point.
I know. It's too bad this didn't happen during the U.S. Open.
We didn't do any tennis chat.
Dude, we would have totally. If this was the week after that final, I would have totally gone all team on you.
That would have been awesome. I like team.
Luke will be back next week, and so will I. Until then, bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.